بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قام موسى النبي خطيبا في بني إسرائيل فسئل أي الناس أعلم فقال أنا فعتب الله عليه إذ لم يرد العلم إليه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Who suspected others and brothers, the third of the four incidents that I have is the incident that had transpired between the two Anbiya alayhimu salam, Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Khadir alayhi salam. This incident highlights the test of intellect and intelligence. And again here the same theme, which is the clash between materialism and Iman, that is being highlighted in this incident as well. In this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse into the world or the realm of the unseen, and some of the wisdoms of the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are made apparent by this incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also highlights by means of this incident and shows the deficiency of the intellect of man. That many a times man, no matter how intelligent he may be, bases his decision on his understanding of what something would transpire to become. But later on he realizes his mistake and he then regrets his decision. So if this is the reality when it comes to our decisions, we should be extremely cautious and we should always submit and surrender our understanding to the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should never question it. So the prelude to this incident was once Nabi Musa alayhi salam delivered a very the Bani Israel, which caused them to tear and cry. After this khutbah or this lecture, one person got up and asked a question that, "Oh Musa, who is the most learned person? Who is the most knowledgeable person?" So Musa alayhi salam answered according to what was the reality. That because at that moment, based on the knowledge of Sharia, the knowledge pertaining to the laws of Deen, Musa alayhi salam was the most learned person. So therefore he replied that I am the most learned. But because this was not in keeping with his high position and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to bring this to his attention and informed him by means of wahi that, "Oh Musa, there is a servant of mine who you will meet at the place of joining of the two oceans. That servant is more knowledgeable than you." So these two were Anbiya alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salam possessed the knowledge of Shariat, the knowledge pertaining to the laws of Deen. And Khadir had possessed the knowledge pertaining to administrative matters regarding who will die, who will pass away, etc. So all these were the knowledge of administration. So these two knowledges were different, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to teach Nabi Musa alayhi salam that at all times a person should return knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attribute knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most knowledgeable and He has the most knowledge. So Musa alayhi salam then expresses his desire to meet this servant. So from here we learn that despite Musa alayhi salam being so learned, being the Nabi of Allah, he was not ashamed of learning from someone. He wished to now inquire, who is this person who has more knowledge than me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that you should set out in a certain direction and take along with you a salted fish. When this fish will disappear at the place of the meeting of the two oceans, you will meet the servant of mine there. So Musa alayhi salam sets out with his attendant Yusha, who later on becomes the Nabi of the Bani Israel, and they continue on their journey. Nevertheless, they come to a huge rock where Musa alayhi salam and his salam, they set to rest. And while Nabi Musa alayhi salam had fallen asleep, a unique and amazing incident had transpired. At the edge of spring, which was termed as Aynul Hayat, or the spring of life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed in it miraculous qualities by means of which this water would give life to the dead. So this, some of this water came onto this fish, and this fish and it jumped into the ocean, causing a tunnel to be formed. So despite Nabi Yusha alayhi salam witnessing this, he forgot to mention it to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and they continued on their journey. And like this they continued for an entire day. Then after passing the entire day's journey, Musa alayhi salam tells his attendant, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا, that we have encountered fatigue and tiredness in this journey of ours. آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا, bring to us our meal that we have brought along. So now Nabi Yusha alayhi salam remembers, and he promptly reminds or explains the incident that had transpired to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, that this is what had happened. So Musa alayhi salam then tells him, ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِ, that is that which we were looking for. We were aspiring for this very same thing. We had come in search of this very same thing. And that is the place where we will be able to meet the servant of Allah. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا, nevertheless, they then returned, retracing their steps, until they came to this point where Yusha alayhi salam indicates to Nabi Musa alayhi salam where this fish had miraculously disappeared. There they find a person seated in shawl. So Musa alayhi salam immediately makes salam and he greets him. So Nabi Khadib, upon hearing salam, he responds, "Anna bi ardika salam," that where has salam come from in this land? And then he questions Nabi Musa alayhi salam that who are you? Nabi Musa alayhi salam says, he then asks, are you the Musa of Bani Israel? He then replies in the affirmative. Here the ulama explain that salam was not just a hallmark of this ummah, but it was the hallmark and the means of greeting of the previous nations as well. So it is important for us as Muslims to hold firm to this teaching of Islam and this method of greeting. And we should revive this method of greeting and greet those who we know and those who we do not know as well. So nevertheless, Musa alayhi salam then presents his request to join, to accompany Nabi Khadir alayhi salam. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا, that will you allow me to follow you, to join your company, so that I may learn from that knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. So initially Nabi Khadir alayhi salam tells Musa alayhi salam that you will never be able to tolerate and bear with me, because you have a different form of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you a different form of knowledge which I do not possess, and I have a different type of knowledge which you do not possess. So because Nabi Musa alayhi salam was blessed with the knowledge of Shariat, the knowledge pertaining to the laws of Deen, thus, if he had to witness anything contrary to that, he would immediately question and object to it. And Nabi Khadir was bestowed with the knowledge pertaining to administrative matters. And that was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which he was fulfilling. So Musa alayhi salam then assures Nabi Khadir, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا, that soon, if Allah wills, you will find me and I will not disobey any command of yours. So from here the ulama explain that when a person wishes to learn from someone, then he has to be subservient to his teacher. Like Musa alayhi salam, he humbled himself and he accepted whatever conditions were laid down so that he can benefit from the teacher. So the same will apply to us as well. And the same applies when we send our children to any institute, would it be the maktab or a madrasa, then it is important that we follow the guidelines of the teacher or that institute. So that will be and for the benefit of the learning of our child. So Musa alayhi salam then, Khadir then agrees, and he allows Nabi Musa alayhi salam to accompany him. So they set out. As they set out, they come to the bank of a river. So they see a boat passing, and they request the youngsters that were in this boat to allow them to board this boat. So recognizing Nabi Khadir alayhi salam as a pious servant, they then allow them to board the boat without charging them any fee. So while on this boat, Nabi Khadir takes a board or a piece of plank of that boat and he breaks it. So immediately Nabi Musa alayhi salam objects and he asks him, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا, that have you damaged their boat so that you will drown its inhabitants? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمَّا, indeed you have committed an evil act. So immediately Nabi Khadir reminds Nabi Musa alayhi salam that did I not tell you that you will not be able to bear with me? And Musa alayhi salam immediately apologizes and he asks to forgive him as he had forgotten the agreement that was made. So nevertheless they continue. When they come to a group of youngsters after reaching their destination, they find a group of youngsters or children playing. Nabi Khadir approaches one youngster, very handsome, and he grabs hold of his head and he separates his head from his body, immediately killing him. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, being granted the laws of the Sharia, immediately objects. He says, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ, have you killed an innocent soul whilst it has not caused any oppression and not murdered any other person? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا, indeed you have carried out a very heinous act. So again, with more emphasis, Nabi Khadir reminds Nabi Musa alayhi salam that did I not inform you that you will not be able to be patient with me? So Musa alayhi salam then again excuses himself and he says, إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي, that if after this I ask any question from you, then you may then part ways with me or abandon my companionship, and in that case you would have sufficient excuse to now leave me and abandon me. So Nabi Khadir then continues, and they come to a place, a city or a village, and they request its inhabitants to allow them to be hospitable to them, to give them some food. But these people refuse. While in this village, Nabi Khadir witnesses that a wall was about to fall or collapse. So Nabi Khadir then uses his hand and he erects that wall, he straightens that wall and he fixes that wall. So Musa alayhi salam tells him, لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا, had you wished you could have taken some remuneration for it. And from that we would have bought some food and we would have fed ourselves. So immediately Nabi alayhi salam, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي, this is the point where we will part ways. But سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا, soon I will inform you regarding the interpretation of that which you could not bear. And I will explain to you the reasonings and the realities of that which you could not fathom. So Nabi Khadir now begins to recollect and recount the reasonings behind the various incidents that had transpired. So Nabi Khadir then explains regarding وَأَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, that as for this boat, it belonged to some poor youngsters, and ahead of them وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكُ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا, ahead of them there was an oppressive king who would forcefully take away any perfect boat. So I wish to damage it so that this may save their only means of livelihood. So again here, outwardly it seemed like Nabi Khadir caused an act of oppression, but these people were kind and they allowed him to put them to board this boat without any charge, but he reciprocated by being evil to them or damaging their boat. So that is what it seemed like outwardly. But what was the reality? In reality, this was an act of kindness for them. So like this, in this world, many a times a believer is set by material and financial loss. And he may undergo some financial problem. He may lose his vehicle, his property, his wealth. But in reality, this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah sometimes wishes to safeguard and protect a person from some greater calamity, from some greater affliction. Then Nabi Khadir then explained regarding that young boy, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ. As for this young boy, his parents were believers. And we apprehended that if this youngster had to grow up, then he will impose upon his parents transgression and disbelief. He will cause them to transgress and leave the fold of Islam. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to replace them with someone better than them and closer in relations. So again, outwardly it seemed like Musa, Nabi Khadir had caused an act of oppression by murdering this innocent child. But in reality, this was protecting the parents from a greater calamity. So in the like manner, in this world, a person may suffer some difficulty by losing some close relative, some close family member, the loss of some beloved person. At that time, what should be a person's response? Understand that this is a greater protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to protect a person from something even greater and from some greater calamity. Like in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected them from the greatest calamity, which is to be doomed for the fire of Jahannam forever and forever. The Mufassirin explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had then later on bestowed them and blessed them with a daughter who later became the mother of a Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her the mother of a Nabi. So Allah even replaced them in this very world with something even greater than their loss. Then Nabi Khadir alayhi salam explained the wisdom regarding that wall. Nabi Khadir explained that that wall, behind that wall, was a treasure belonging to two orphan youngsters. And if that wall had to be broken or demolished, then the wealth belonging to these two orphan youngsters would be usurped and would be taken by the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to preserve their wealth because of the piety of their father. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a pious person. The ulama explained that being pious is a means of protecting the material aspect of our children, is a means of material and financial security for our children. Many a times the parent has this concern, this natural concern regarding the financial security of his children, of his progeny. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the recipe to protect the material wealth of our children. That if a person is pious, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his progeny and will safeguard his progeny. Not only that, the Mufassirin explained that according to one opinion, it was not their father who was pious, but it was their seventh generation forefather that was a pious person. And on account of his piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to preserve the wealth of these orphans. So this was the interpretation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had manifested to us by means of this incident. And again, by means of this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted to us, like in these three incidents, what was the apparent and what became the reality later on was something totally different, something totally opposite. What we considered to be an act of injustice or an act of oppression, something evil, later on in reality became considered to be an act of kindness, a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like this, in our day-to-day lives, whatever decrees we find or the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes regarding our lives and the lives of those around us, the conditions that we find around us, then the dictates of true iman is that a person wholeheartedly submits and surrenders himself whether he understands the wisdom or not. Like in these cases, a person could not initially understand the wisdom. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it manifest to us. But many a times, or most of the time, what is the wisdom behind the decree and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not become apparent to us. But it is the dictates of iman that we submit and surrender ourselves. Similarly, we understand from this incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man certain faculties, certain senses, by means of which he comes to conclusions. But we should understand that these faculties, these senses have limitations. And when these senses and faculties have limitations, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limitations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is infinite and limitless, then the dictate of this logic is that a person wholeheartedly submits and surrenders himself to every command of Sharia, whether he understands the reason or the wisdom behind these laws. And it is important for us, together with this, to recite a masnoon dua which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us in the morning and evening. Raditu billahi rabba, I am pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb. Wabil islami deena, and with Islam as my deen. And wabi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam rasula, and with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my rasul and as my nabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice on whatever has been said, and to bring in our lives the true spirit of iman. As we find the world around us teaches us that we should believe in what we see, but the true reality is that many iman, or the dictates of iman, is that it is not a matter of seeing is believing, but it is a matter of believing in the unseen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.